Welcome back to the Every Week We Follow podcast. We're going to start off by talking about Matty Cash. Just signed a 5-year contract with the club. Unexpected, was it?
Yeah, I'd say so. He's had a really good couple of months and he's grown his stature by becoming an international at Poland. I think he would have made his England debut last week had he not have made that decision to go to Poland. He has kicked on this season. But the timing of it may be a little bit surprising, but no, fair play to him. I'd certainly say he deserves it. Whether or not that means he's actually at Villa for the next 5 years, I don't know. And whether or not, if an offer of 40 million still came in for him from Atletico Madrid this summer, would we still consider it? Who knows, but it's certainly an interesting one.
Yeah. I think there was probably people before him that are probably in line to get it, or you'd like to see it get a contract for him. How long are we going for now? A year and a half, or is it 2 years yet?
Year and a half.
And how long was the original contract? Like 4 years or so. Well, he's been given another 5 years. I'm not moaned about it. That's the thing. He's an important player for us. You know, he just protects us a little bit, because now we're in a position with Douglas Luiz, for example, where we could probably lose him for a lot less than we'd like to, because he's only got a year and a bit left on his contract. So, no, I think you've got to do this for your better players, or at least your starting players. There's interest in him. So I think it's just protecting an asset more than anything at the moment.
You are right. It goes to show that they've wrapped him up ahead of Luiz and Chuck Wamaker and one or two others that might be letting their contract run down. So I think it goes to show that those two aren't any closer to getting sorted out.
I think I'm happy to invest in Matty Cash, though. I think invest our time into him, because he's of the right mentality. He's shown that over the last month, or maybe since the turn of the year, that he can be a very, very good player for us. Obviously, there was question marks for him for the start of the 6 months of the season. But he's a solid option. He's the right character that you want around. So yeah, I'm happy to invest in him.
He's still young as well. You forget he's only going to improve as a player. And I think the last few months, I think he's finally started to build into the Gerrard system. He's really taken on that wing back position really, really well. He's improved his ability going forward. Defensively, I think he's a solid option. I think he does a real good job. And like you say, you want to keep hold of your best players, and he's the best right back in the club by absolute miles. So yeah. I think it makes total sense. I think the key one for us is whether he's going to push on and continue to develop, because the last 6 months I've seen massive improvements from Cash. It's whether he can keep improving and keep working on his game. I think there's not many players in the side who've been that consistent this season. I think over the last 2 months he's been very consistent though. But when you look at it, no brainer really, isn't it? To be honest,
you're glad to come as well as backup. Hopefully, Kessler been playing well for MK Dons. We got two decent options there. Well, obviously, Kessler's probably some way off a start or seriously challenging for it. But I'm happy with those two options for the next couple of years anyway. Should it be the case?
Yeah, I'm not a massive fan of Gilbert. I'm going to be brutally honest with you. I think the bloke can't defend in the Premier League. He's all been good doing it for Strasbourg and he's playing against Nice, but I've seen him get turned around. I've seen Stoke in the Cup running ragged. You know, he's defensively, he's not good enough for me. And it's the same story with Jordan Amavi. Yeah, he's great for Marseille, but he couldn't defend at the Villa. And it's one of them ones. I think you're going to be really careful with how you judge right backs on their ability going forward. You've got to do the basics and defend it.
The amount of last minute slide tackles it was getting lauded for shows it was positioning out of no man's hand to begin with. Matty, just going back to Matty Cash briefly, and yeah, I agree with you, Rhys. Gilbert knows that he's not the answer long term. I don't know if in the next 3 years Matty Cash is necessarily the long term answer at right back, but I could say that about every single player in that team at the minute. So that's not me digging him out at all. It's a brilliant way to protect an asset, yeah, because you've got a 30, 35, 40 million pound player on your hands there. So you want him signed up for 4 or 5 years, especially at the age that he's at. Could go and shine at a World Cup in the summer. But him, and like so many of the others in every single position, there's big question marks over whether or not they're the player that can take us to that next level of breaking into the top six. Because as the weekend and the last three games have gone to show, the sobering reminders that we're still miles off there, aren't we?
We're nowhere near the top eight. We're not. They're, they've either got better squads than us or they're more organised than us because they've had longer to input their system. We're nowhere near Wolves at the moment, nowhere near West Ham. And it shows, I think, it is where we are as a team. You know, I think other than Coutinho and Martinez, and even Coutinho, I'll be honest, last few weeks hasn't been up to the standards he knows he can set. Martinez hasn't been up to his best this season as a whole, but he's let's be honest, he's a top-class goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Other than them two, I'd say everyone is dispensable in this squad, to be honest. I really would. But I think on their day, those two can be world-class players, and that's the difference. I think other than that, I think most players in this team are dispensable, to be honest.
Yeah, I'd agree, Sarah. I can't really think of any single person that in the squad at the moment that I'm, you know, dying or is desperately keeping their sheet or desperately, you know, someone that I'm idolising, can't wait to see week in, week out, to be honest, at the moment. It even goes as far to say with McGinn as well. You know, I look at him and he's at the moment and he doesn't seem like it's the McGinn that we love. I wouldn't be upset if I didn't see him. If I saw him start on the bench, I think he could probably benefit from some time, to be fair, away from the team, especially when he's not, you know, doing everything that we know that he can bring. But, I mean, you look at that. I mean, you look at if Luka Digne, a left back for us, was actually Matt Target, you know, and they're playing at the same performance level, he'd probably be getting pelters at this moment.
Yeah, you're right.
You'd be calling him a soft touch again. Doesn't like, he's a fan, he doesn't like playing in front of crowds. You know, he's one of them ones because he's been off with a bit of an upset stomach or something, wasn't it? That what was quoted by Greg Evans or something on Twitter. Went off just after, was it the first goal?
It was early, weren't it? It was early doors.
So, I mean, well, and then obviously Ashley Young comes in and then scores a fantastic header, yeah. He controlled that straight into the top corner. There's a story pretty much across the park at the moment. Watkins again misses opportunities. That's what's, I mean, him in the week for England, that first touch for the goal, and his goal as well, you know, he's a completely different player to what we usually see at Villa. And then it comes back and it's, he picked up from where he left against Arsenal rather than Ivory Coast.
The first goal, I mean, if going into the game on Saturday, talking about the goals and, you know, things that happened. The first goal, I mean, look, slips happen. You know, it's one of those ones. Yeah, you know, there was a slip involved, they've scored. But the position that we lost the ball in the midfield, absolutely criminal. You can't do that at this level. You physically cannot do it at this level. You can't even do that in League One, let alone the Premier League. The ball that was given away, I think it was John McGinn. I'm looking at it and thinking, you just can't do that in those areas against Wolves, away from home. It was, and then after that, they had around a 10-minute.
He was going either.
I don't. And then after that, they had a 5-minute spell where they had this confidence, and they were going at us because we'd gifted them the goal. And that, to be honest, that was the game lost there and then. From then on in, I can't remember the last time we pulled it back from being down either. To be honest, when we seem to concede, it's game, set, and match. And you know, we've got Spurs on Saturday. They're above us, so you might as well not turn up. You know what I mean? It's so predictable at the moment, isn't it? If the team's above us, they'll beat us. If we concede first, it's game over.
My mate came to his first away this season, and I texted him a week ago last Monday, and I said to him, "I do hope you're looking forward to Ashley Young coming on early for someone injured, John McGinn not being able to string a pass together, and us not having a shot on target in the first 80 minutes." That was a week ago, and it's predictable. I hate being cynical like that because, you know, it's a bit of a twatty thing to start coming out and saying with, because I love Ashley Young, love John McGinn. You know, a lot of, like this team and this bunch of lads, but you're right, Reece, they're painfully predictable at the minute.
They are, mate. Yeah. I mean, the thing in the midfield as well, I mean, it was great to see Sanson feature. But, I mean, you could play Ramsey, McGinn, Sanson, Louise. Does it really matter?
They're all just
the same midfield players, aren't they?
They're all capable of ghosting. Yeah. They're all capable of giving the ball away. They're all capable of having a good game. They're all capable of not showing up for 45 minutes. Mm. Neat and tidy. But I was turning to my... There was a long ball that Ezri Konsa won and it was a nod down. And because he was pedalling back a bit, his header, he just had to get something on it and he's headed it back into that midfield area. Mm. There was three Wolves players around that ball and our midfield was nowhere to be seen. Mm. And that is just such basics. The amount of times I've come onto this podcast and had to use that word, go back to basics, the distance between players. I think it's a bigger problem with the system this season than it has been with the individuals, because these individuals on their day have shown that they're capable of turning teams over, of putting in really good performances. But we seem to keep reverting back to a system that just doesn't favour this group of players, I don't think.
No. And look, I'm not going to start having a go at the manager, but... He's talking quite he's been big in press conferences, isn't he? In terms of, he's kind of insinuating he's got, well, he did before the Wolves game, that he's got a big budget to be spent. That's all well and good, but you have got to start getting a little bit more out of these players, to be honest with you. Because, you know, he's not there just to do okay with what he's got. He's there to maximise his assets as a coach.
He's not doing it.
And he's not easy at the moment, unfortunately. Yeah. And that's not me having to go at him long term. I think he will probably sort it out when he's got his own players in. But I don't want to hear about this big summer transfer window. We've still got games to be played. I'm still paying money to watch us.
Yeah.
So I want to see some performances. Yeah. Yeah. I want to start seeing them quickly starting Saturday as well.
And it's not like the players that he's got at his disposal are bad.
We're not a shit team, are we? No. We've got some good players in that side.
No, you look at it from front to back. You've got Argentina's number one. You've got France's first or second choice left back. You know, you've got an England international. You've got a good, you know, Ezri Konsa, who's probably only at the moment a good Ezri Konsa. You know, you've got Poland's first choice right back. And it goes on pretty much throughout the team. You've got Felipe Coutinho. We've got Buendia, who's been absolute for a large period of the season, albeit not currently, one of our best players. Leon Bailey, who hasn't really turned up from Leverkusen, but again, another person that came here, you know, looking good. Danny Ings, proven goals. Watkins is... Well, whichever Watkins turns up can be an England international centre forward. They're not bad players in any real position of our squad, but it's like you say, you know, it's pretty criminal to not be able to be, you know, bring a certain standard of performance each week, because like you said, how predictable it is, and the fact that, you know, with the talent, you know, that I've just said on the pitch, how we can't, you know, be in a lot of games this season, not be registering a shot on target, just be completely miles off it. It's pretty criminal, but I do trust in the regime and in the management.
Yeah.
I know that given a decent pre-season and whatnot, and a few more signings, the fact that how we still haven't addressed the whole midfielding position is another criminal decision that we all knew was gonna hurt us. We need to get that right in the summer, and then give Gerrard a proper, and we'll give everyone really a proper foundation, because even over the summer we wanted Traoré to have a full pre-season. That didn't work out. With a bit of luck, we've got a fully fit squad in pre-season, and Gerrard can actually have some time with the players. It's what we need at the moment, because it's looking very disjointed, really.
I think anyone that's questioning Gerrard or calling for him out, and I've not seen many people, it's ludicrous. You know, he's the man that you've got to stick with, because, you know, when you bring in someone like Steven Gerrard in, you've got to be all in with him. But I think the Steven Gerrard that we're seeing at the minute with the reactions is a Steven Gerrard that is hoping that he sees in the players what he was himself. Because if a manager had turned around to Steven Gerrard as a player and questioned him and questioned his place in the team and said his future, he's fighting for his future, Steven Gerrard would have reacted tenfold. You'd have seen the best version of Steven Gerrard. But not all of these players have his mentality, his ability, his determination. And he sort of has to manage that himself, and especially between now and the end of the season, because I really want to finish top 10. So are these owners, because we want continuous progress. He's got to win between now and the end of the season. He's got to win more games than he loses.
Yeah.
That goes without saying. So he has got to work with the players that he's got. And it's all well and good, Steven Gerrard saying, if these players don't work with me, I'll find ones that do. But then what if they don't work? You know, this constant rhetoric and repeat of going and getting good players in the summer and going and spending 150 million quid again and again doesn't guarantee success, because the last couple of years has proven that for us. You know, you've got West Ham that will go and spend another 100 million this summer. Newcastle will go and spend 100 million. Leicester will rebuild. City and Liverpool will go and spend 100 million on one player each. United will do the same. So we'll go and spend that money too, but it doesn't guarantee success or mean that we'll go and break into that top eight. You need to find smaller gains in other areas, and it's up to Steven Gerrard now to go and find them.
Yeah, Steven Gerrard and his team, really, because we all know that, well, football will tell you that, you know, just by, you know, a different manager coming in, we're seeing the same problem. So, you know, it can't just be, you know, down to a head coach or the coaches or tactical decisions to win games. You know, we need to have the current crop of players that we've invested a lot of time in to come to the party a little bit. And the amount of, I mean, it's getting almost boring, the amount of times we as fans get ourselves up for a game, and then we see, like, not so much a no-show. I wouldn't say, like, Wolves, for example, a weekend was a no-show, but just nothing, really. Nothing. We did a lot without doing anything. Do you know what I mean?
It was predictable as well, wasn't it? And the amount of times this season where we've lost two in a row, three in a row, four in a row, it's embarrassing. It is embarrassing for the amount of money that we've spent. There's no other way to describe it.
We don't, like you said, Brett, we don't draw games either. Some of these games, the last two, like you said earlier, at Wolves and West Ham, we should have drew at least. And, you know, I'm going to throw Arsenal into that mix as well, because Arsenal weren't great. Should have easily got at least a point for those three, like, just to break the rut a little bit.
Go into a game hoping to draw. That's not a crime of where we are in the league. You know, if we'd have said, oh, just go and get a point today, lads, at the moment. Don't lose.
I know.
The fans don't have
it. And we had the chance, and let's be honest, I mean, talk about the game again, Saturday. We had the chances to make it 2-2, didn't we? I mean, I've got to be a shout out to Jose Sai. He was absolutely
brilliant
superb.
Goalkeeper.
The same in the first half. It was literally, remember Juicy Jaskalana at the park years ago? Gary Carr, like an absolute storm of like 40 yards. That was could have been save of the season, and then the one off Cash in injury time.
That was amazing,
excellent.
Oh, that was unbelievable.
Unbelievable,
wasn't
it?
Yeah, that was
and the thing is, if you take this game in silo, and you look at the chances we had, Watkins missed two sitters. That Jose Sarr made two unbelievable saves. You go, fuck me, that's unlucky. But after losing three on the bounce and this happening repeatedly, it's not unlucky.
It's the way the game was as well.
Yeah.
The fact that they didn't get out of second gear, Wolves, but they still managed the game far better than us. Mm. Their midfield. It all goes down to setups, and just returning to a point that Willem was making earlier, that it can't all be on the head coaches. I think the difference between us and Wolves and West Ham at the minute, and they're the teams we're aspiring to be as good as, it is down to their coaches, because they've not gone in there and spent ridiculous amounts of money. Mm. They've gone in. That Bruno Lang, he's took Wolves from 14th, not really spent any money in the summer. And they're top, you know, they're battling for top six, top seven now. And they look every as good as the table suggests. And that's from him implementing a system that clearly works for that group of players. And they play well as well. Mm. You know, they play well most weeks. We don't. We'll have a good couple of weeks where we'll play really well and we'll win games. And then we won't play well and we'll lose. You know, we'll never win a game by not playing well. And that's the frustrating thing.
I mean, is that the buzzword that Gerard's been using quite a few times is, you know, showing grit and steel. And I think that's pretty much what Wolves did, really. And they they played decent enough football. You know, they've got good enough players, but they know how to dig deep. They know how to show some teeth and win a game.
West Ham,
West Ham.
Just win 2-1 every week.
That was about Nunez and Jimenez. That wasn't Saturday.
Exactly.
So it's not, you know, that wasn't their full squad. I mean, even players like Gian Martino, you know, probably in his mid-30s now, just in total control of the game. Yeah. But and you know, a quality a midfield player, I'll probably say he's probably better than any of our midfield players in the middle.
Tight tempo,
he can. What we've got is we've got a lot of good attacking midfield players. When it comes to pure centre midfield players, we're dealing with a bit of an average crop, unfortunately. And I think that is our... There's an argument on Twitter that it's the defence that's the problem for us. I really don't think it is. I think it's the midfield, because I think... We just get run over in games, left, right and centre. And even the opposite way, we just struggle to get anything going moving forward as well. I think it's the area that needs real attention.
It's been neglected, hasn't it?
Yeah,
That's on everybody, right from Suso from a couple of years ago, Dean Smith, the sporting director, Lang, whether or not he'll be here in the summer, who knows. Gerard. Perhaps in the summer, in January, although you do sense that he made a real attempt to put some money into that position of the pitch. You're right, Rhys. We've spent a lot of money in those wide areas and with wingers, only to then bring in a manager that doesn't play wingers. Mm. But that's a story for another day. And we've completely overlooked that midfield area of the pitch now. Since we've got promoted.
We have. I mean, if you look in the summer, you've got Trezeguet, Algarzi, Traore and Bailey. You can get rid of all of them. You could. The way we play football doesn't suit them. Mm. Bailey's had one good 20-minute cameo against Everton. Other than that, I think he's been beyond poor. I think I've not seen him go above a six.
Mm.
I really have. I know it sounds really harsh. He's not had much time, but...
He clearly suits a counter-attacking football team. And I don't remember the last time we had a counter-attack.
Yeah, it's tough work. I think there's some big calls for outs in the summer. I mean, you might get... One of our two starting centre-halves might go... You don't know. I think it's going to be a big shake-up, I think, in the summer. And I'm looking forward to it, actually. I wouldn't mind the odd gasp if Luiz goes, fine.
I think he'll go, by the way. And I think the fact that he was started on the bench Saturday was the biggest indication of that, because he'd not been away with Brazil. I think that's Gerrard saying, look, if you're not all in, if you're not signing on, I'm going to play other players. And that's absolutely fine with me. But the thought of another big summer of turnover scares the life out of me, because I can't see how we can go and spend 150 million on five or six players, sell five or six players, then go and expect to compete for top six, top eight, because it's just not how these things work. You know, we really need... Could do with a situation this summer where we're bringing in one or two players, selling three or four, and I don't think we're going to be in that position.
No. I think it's more like we will bring in one, two or three starters that won't just go straight into the lineup. There'll be obviously the defensive mid will be the player that starts, and we've got to spend 60 million on that player because it's obviously crucial to what he wants to do. But I think the other signings, like, I mean, we mentioned earlier, like Hickey would be coming at left back. That's a cover signing. You know, I mean, you're bringing somebody that will probably challenge the centre halves and probably will keep the place, but you've also still got the centre half there. I don't think it's a tough one to say who's he going to get rid of, because how the hell are we supposed to know who's going to get rid of right now? How can you look at that team and you're like, oh, okay, he could literally get rid of anyone.
It's just another summer of it, though, isn't it? Do you think West Ham and Wolves fans that are sat around a microphone at the minute saying, oh, you know, we'll go and sell X, Y, and Z, and X, Y, you know, it's going to be no, we might get him. And they can be really specific with who they pinpoint and target, and they know for a fact that he's going to be the right person that's definitely going to improve them. We could go and spend 60 million on Calvin Phillips in the summer, and I wouldn't be sure if he even improved us. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's an improvement on what we've got, but whether or not he'd come in and we go and go and see us go four places up the league because of it, I don't think that's the case.
You know what? I think we can. I think we can be in that position where we only need to sign two players, really, or one or two. I think one or two would really improve us. If we signed two defence midfielders and one of them absolutely nails it, I think that could be the difference. Because like we've been saying all episode, we've got very good players in every single position across the pitch. It's just having that cohesion, let them basically finding out how to win together and to how to dig deep when, you know, because not every game is going to be plain sailing. You're not going to be able to play on the football pitch week in, week out, how you've played on the training week from Monday to Friday. Just get these, because good players can play together well, and they just need a bit of help in the blaring the obvious position that we've all needed it so far. I think Sam mentioned it over the weekend, or some others anyway. I've seen a couple of people say it. Phillips and who's the other lad?
Basuma.
I would
get them both.
Forget about we don't forget about just buying one.
Let's
invest in two top quality players, because we'll get one player in. To bring in one player, we all know how much of a gamble one signing is anyway. Every signing is a gamble. And if he comes in and isn't good, then what's the use? Let's go bring two top players in there and let them battle it out.
I agree with that.
We need that competition. Well, that competition pretty much everywhere across the pitch.
And then it goes and elevates. Yeah. I mean, presumably, if you're playing those two together, then it'd be either one spare of McGinn, Jacob Ramsey, or Douglas Luiz. Yeah, but they're all of a sudden better because they're playing with other. Completely get that, and I do think that seems to be the logic with the noise coming out of the club. It's that core, isn't it? I think you could draw a line down where we need a bit of improvement and a bit of exercise. It's that, you know, it's the middle of the park.
It is, and I think if you look at his defence, he's got Cash, who's just signed a 5-year contract today. He's performing well in that wing, more advanced position. He's bought Dean. He's got two centre halves who, on the day, they are, you know, they're decent. Yeah, he's bought Chambers is a good backup. You'd argue defensive were there. Going forward, he's got Coutinho, who, you know, he's a fantastic player. He's got other options in that other wider inside forward area that I still don't think he's pinned down. It's the midfield that he's letting us down. I think he'll buy a couple of midfield players and a striker, and I think that'll be his core business for the first 11. And then I think you'll see a couple of players like a backup left back coming. When you put it like that, we're not far off. It's just that trying to find two what I'd call top midfield players and to sign them, I mean, it's hard work. And I think, out of every position in the football pitch, the one that's hardest to gel is a midfield.
Yeah, I think
it takes time, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And that's why we're going to have another period of transition, basically, because we've got, you know, a player that literally has to stick everyone together. If it's a good enough player, he will be able to do that.
Yeah.
But it's who
we're trying to recruit the most important team in any football club.
We were linked with a boy over January who is coming to the Premier League playing for Spurs, and he looks like exactly the kind of player that really would have been for us.
Yeah.
But by the sounds of it, he was never convinced about coming to us. So I'm not going to lose any sleep about a player that
he's made the right decision, to be fair to him.
Do you know when we went down to the Championship all those years ago? And
unfortunately,
I think in a 6 month period, we signed Jedinak, Tshibola, Lansbury, Hourihan.
Mm.
Yeah, we were just stockpiling and just hoping that we were just throwing shit at a wall and hoping that it sticks.
Yeah.
We can't do that again. I don't think we will, you know, because we had some absolute clowns running the club at that time.
Yeah.
But it's giving me sort of flashbacks to that moment, if you like, where it's like, oh, well, we're going to have Calvin Phillips there, Bissouma there.
Mm.
We've got to try and avoid that. And like you say, we've got to find a midfield three that gels and really works.
Imagine.
It took a start bringing Glenn Whelan in on a free and taking a bit of a hit with our pride for it to work last time. So who knows? You know, Mark Noble might fancy it. I'm not quite sure.
imagine end up buying Dele Alli and Donny van de Beek. See you later, Everton.
Yeah. But now I think what it is, I think we're on a real high. Those three wins, we're back down to earth.
We're gonna win for the bounce again.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute.
It's one of those.
Top six is looking rosy.
Do you think right down to Gerrard's appointment and this season as a whole, we've just tried to run before we can walk a little bit too much?
I think that's always the case with Aston Villa, to be honest.
Yeah. On and off the pitch.
Yeah.
I do kind of think that the two signings that we made had to be made then, though. The Luka Dean, we had to make that signing. And the Coutinho, if we wanted to have him, needed to make him happy now.
Business was out that the summer window is really
questionable. When you look back at it now, it's an absolute shambles.
Really, really bad window.
January is better than summer tenfold. I mean, I'm looking at Callum Chambers. Like, what a honest signing that was. You know what I mean? I mean, who'd be buying this summer? Ings
was desperate.
Ings, who's sitting on the bench.
He's still a good player.
But he's still
a stranger. He's not one that complimented Smith's or Gerrard's system.
Why wasn't he playing Saturday? I'm sorry. I'm not having this. If it was the FA Cup final, would he have missed it?
No.
In the words of Roy Keane, was he delivering it?
Yeah. He's not having the baby, is he?
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
But
apparently, Sam was saying that he offered to...
He offered to drive back up on the Saturday morning and play, and Gerrard said...
When was the baby given birth?
It must have been the day before.
When was the time?
Yeah.
When did the little fucker pop out? Because on his off-series words, I think, in his timekeeping skills.
Because I'm not being funny. I've said it all season. If it's playing one up top, he's the man over Watkins every day of the week for me. Ings scores one of those two chances on Saturday for me.
Oh, yeah.
Does he get into that position? That's another story. But I just think with Watkins at the moment, you know, there's a reason why he gets an England call-up. He's not shit, but he's not performing good enough for us at the moment.
Well, we were all shocked, weren't we? We always like, how the hell has he got that?
Yeah.
So I think it's a system thing, because for me, it's interesting. I'd always have Watkins over him.
Which, yeah.
I think I like Ollie Watkins. I think Ollie Watkins brings all round a little bit more, but I wouldn't call anyone Barmy for saying otherwise. You know, there's not a lot between them, is there?
The Watkins that I've seen on occasion, who can control a ball out of the sky, you can actually link play a little bit, can hold on to, well, I mean, he's never been great at linking play for me, but he can hold on to the ball. His hold-up play has been good a few times, and he can lay it off to someone else. That Watkins, I will take him every single day of the week over Ings.
He can be close. Absolutely. I might get laughed at it. Ollie Watkins can be close to a bit of a world beat on his day, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, with Danny Ings, you know you're only getting a fox in the box, a poacher, albeit a lovely footballer. Ollie Watkins, I think, has the ability to just offer you that little bit more and can be the difference, but he doesn't do it often enough yet.
He can hold on to all for 20 seconds when you need him to, and he can get people at the pitch, but he's been none of that apart from the game against Ivory Coast. Yeah, he's never done that.
I think we need a fox in the box, though, because what being funny, you've got Coutinho, players like Buendia, who can put it on a plate.
Yeah, I agree.
We're missing far too many chances, so I think... That, I think I've got a funny feeling. Again, you talk about big shake-ups. That's an area that he looks at in the summer.
Yeah, you can't have those luxurious players, your Coutinho's and your Buendia's, if the midfield's not perfectly sound behind it. I mean, and it's not at the minute, is it?
Stop.
So
you can never have too many strikers.
Mm.
Spurs then, Saturday, 5:30 kickoff. We've got to go out all day drinking again. Honestly, I'm going to have no money left and no soul from losing every single time. What are we going for?
No, because we've lost three in a row. Then we've won three in a row. And now we've just lost three in a row again. So surely we're
going
to win.
Do you remember when we were in that absolute shambles? It was last season, so hopefully. We were in that shambles and we'd had no Grealish. And he came back and then we battered Chelsea and... The Champions League winners and Spurs. It's going to happen.
Predictions, they're above us, so we won't win. There you go. That's my prediction. They're above us, so we won't win. We can't beat teams above us at the moment. I think a push. We don't draw, so I'm actually, I can't beg.
5-0 Villa.
I'm just not going to predict this week because I can't bet us to lose.
Sometimes we're better off when we don't predict, to be fair. But obviously, it's the last week before I fly off.
This is it. This is goodbye, Willem.
Before I fly off to Bangkok. And then around, so they can't let the last game, my last game at Villa Park in X years be a loss, can they?
They will.
9 p.m. at Albert Schloss, you'll see Willem crying, having a pint.
Yeah, I'll be crying as well. No, I'll be home. If we lose, I'll just be home. I'll go, fuck me, get me on the plane. Get me out of here. I did try and get myself up for that and try and think of a positive,
a damp in the mood, a little
positive. The period,
depressing.
They will, and you know what? They will. I'm too used to them for doing that.
Mm.
But maybe they won't. Mm. So for that reason, and that reason only,
Bentancur on goal.
Bentancur is gonna put it right into Ramsey's path. Right to Ramsey's path, and he's just gonna take it past three players and stick it in the Holt end. Crossbar and in, it's going to like smash off the underside of the bar, limbs. Even though it's going to mean nothing because we're not actually playing for anything anymore, but it'll send me off to Asia in a style at least.
The only thing I'm holding on to is with it being a 5:30 kickoff, we've not had one of those big Villa Park atmospheres where we lift the roof off under Gerrard yet. Mm. So I think that could be the one. And it's Spurs, you know, it's quite a Spursy thing to do, isn't it? To nick a footballing phrase. For them to not turn up, so you know that there's those variables. I'm not really, so I don't expect us to win because they're better than us and they're above us. So we'll lose it, but there are one or two things that come Saturday I'll be thinking, yeah, we're winning today.
Mm. I think what it does scream is like, do you remember when, for example, in your face here. When like we played Chelsea at our place and Del scored the Cruyff turn, and you know Mourinho was going crazy in the sideline. He might have even got sent to the stand, or I might be getting mixed up with that Carvalho from Sheffield Wednesday when he got sent to the stand. It's crying out for a Conte meltdown on the sides, booting balls into the Trinity Road stand, you know, smashing the bar.
Oh, I'd love that. That would be great, wouldn't it?
We've actually had some decisions go our way. He gets sent to the stand. You know, Brett, you're in this. Prawn sandwich we're going with
you're
giving him the V.
Telling him what to do, yeah.
We're still waiting for Steven Gerrard to give it absolute large as well. We're still waiting for him to just be like,
Villa Park. We've not claimed a scope at Villa Park this season, have we? You know, we're running out. I think it's only Spurs. Is that claiming a scope? Spurs at home? But you know, we're due one, aren't we? So
it'd be a nice one to win. I mean, we've still got Liverpool to play, but I'll put my helmet on before I say this. I don't want to. I really don't want Man City to win. I'll happily for Liverpool to win the league this season. So we've got nothing else to win. So.
Yeah, but as long as it's on our terms, or if we go to the Etihad and beat them, I'd take that all
imagine,
day long.
Imagine us going to us. What about the fucking shit we've seen the last 3 weeks? Yeah,
just lost 7 in a row.
To the Etihad in the last game of the season. Shit,
it would be the Villa thing.
We do tend to get the last laugh somehow, don't we? So maybe that will be our ridiculous petulant little laugh at the end of the season.
Yeah,
somehow
all in fancy dress.
Grealish walks off the pitch with his new £7 million Gucci contract, cried into his blanket. What 1-0 Ramsey.
1-0 Ramsey. Yeah, I don't want to bring us back down to earth again, but I'll send us on a little wave. Mm. So they have scored the most goals this calendar year with 30 goals, and we cannot defend well. if that midfield and Bentancur are passing it around and flicking, Son's running at us and Kane's running at us and whoever the rest of them, the rest of them love to score as well, to be fair. Bergwijn.
To be fair, Son, Kane, you can't stop them when they're on it.
Yeah, well, that's the whole team, really, isn't it? Yeah. And then now they're just adding to it slowly.
Mm. You really picked us up there. I'll do my best to get us up there and just crush me down.
Mm.
So I reckon it'll be 5-4 Villa.
There we are. Keep it at that.
Keep it at Villa. UTV.
See you in Phuket.